All right, Shabbat Shalom, and Shabbat Shalom to everybody with us today. Hope you're having a blessed Passover and blessed Shabbat. I have a message today called Bearing Fruit in the Growing Pattern. So it's Aviv, and the renewing of the circular pattern. And I've said this for many, many years, Yahweh works in patterns, and if you understand his pattern, then he doesn't change. It's the same pattern over and over. And the calendar, it's so simple. You know, I mean, you have to have a starting point, and then you have to have a where it comes back, that circular pattern. And the equinox is that point. So here we are. We're back in Aviv. You know, it's the sun is past the equator. You know, the equinox where it's done its full circular rotation, and it's a new year again. And the pattern of Yahweh's calendar. But that circular pattern is not only with the calendar, it's with everything. So today I want to go over this with bearing fruit in the growing pattern of kind of taking the four seasons as a in Yahweh's circular pattern of that, you know, into our spiritual growth and also maybe our physical challenges that we have in overcoming. So like I said, Yahweh works in a circular, and there's no greater example of this than the seasons and the growing patterns, both in plants and in life. So this is what we're going to kind of do. We're going to use it as an analogy in our life. So for the growing season for a year as a believer and over life year by year. So that's what we're going to be looking at today. So we know that the agricultural calendar starts in the fall, right? The civil calendar starts in Aviv, where we are now. But the agricultural growing season from Israel in that area of the Middle East starts in the fall. So the fall is the beginning, right? That's where after Sukkot, you know, you come and you have to start your preparing your ground for the next year and planting and all the things that come from that time. So fall is the beginning of the agricultural calendar and the beginning of the cycle of planting and sowing seed. So I want to start in Jeremiah 4 in verse 3. Jeremiah 4 and verse 3, and it says, "For so says Yahweh to the men of Judah and to Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow to the thorns." So we know, right, whether it's spiritual fruit you're planting or physical fruit that you're planting, you can't plant in bad ground. You know, you have to, like it says here, break up your fallow ground. You gotta go outside and you gotta dig and you gotta prepare and you gotta put sometimes, you know, manure or you know, nice new dirt into it. Add good dirt into your ground. So before planting and sowing the seeds, we must break up the ground and prepare ourselves for bearing fruit, right? At the school, we do this by breaking old patterns and that stagnate us. So many people, they don't realize this. They've never heard the term neuroassociations. And all that means is it's our the way that Yahweh made us. He made us creatures of habit so that in a good way, when we build good habits, we would just do them over and over and over again. But yet when we come from Satan society in the world, we build these bad habits and bad emotions and bad things that happen in our life. And from these bad neuroassociations, many people, they follow them their whole life. And they don't know how to break that pattern and get rid of it. It's a big thing that we do at the school of, you know, getting started. So this is part before planting, like I said, physical planting or spiritual planting, and sowing seeds, we have to break up our ground. You've got to make the environment proper so that you can, you're going to have, you know, fruit. You're going to bear fruit that comes from there. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I'm going to read verse 4 and verse 6. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 and verse 6 says, "He who watches the wind shall not sow, and he who looks at the clouds shall not reap. Sow your seed in the morning," verse 6, "and do not rest your hand until evening, for you do not know what shall be blessed, this or that, and whether they both shall be good as one." So this is where the most important time, right, is when you're first planting your seeds. It's like anything else. When you set a goal, it could be a goal for losing weight, it could be a goal for exercising, it could be a goal for whatever you're doing. The beginning of the goal is always the most important part. Because if you don't get off to a strong start in any goal, it could be building a house, right? If you don't get off to a good start on the foundation, what's going to happen? You're going to lose energy, you're going to lose enthusiasm, and you're going to wind up petering off to it. So it's the same with the growing pattern. The fall is the most important time because that's the time of planting. That's the time of sowing. That's the time where if you don't do that right, nothing else is going to come up, right? So because if you plant bad seeds or not enough seeds or, you know, seeds that were, you know, old and aren't going to work, you could do everything else right. But if there's not good seeds in the ground, what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing, absolutely. So this is the most important part. The beginning of the cycle is the most important part. And like it says here, he who watches the wind shall not sow. So this isn't the time to be sitting around, looking around. This is the time to be going out and putting seeds in the ground. And you want to do that as best as possible, as much as you can, right? We must work hard and plant good seed. Work on beginning of the cycle is the most important for bearing fruit later, right? That's the point of it. Psalm 126 in 5 and 6. This is why this psalm, Psalm 126, 5 and 6 says, those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. Surely he who walks and weeps, bearing a trail of seed, shall come again with joyful shouting, bearing his sheaves. Why is he sowing in tears and walking and weeping? Because of all the hard work you're doing at the time. And, you know, we do it. We put it in a garden every year. Praise Yahweh. I've been doing it for many, many, many years. And it is in the beginning. You're doing all this hard work and you don't see any result of it. As a matter of fact, when you're planting from seed, you know, sometimes we'll buy these little plants that already started. They're just really, really tiny, but, you know, but it saves you probably 3 weeks of planting the seed. But when you're literally just planting seed in the ground, you see nothing, you know? So it's like every day you go out there, you're seeing nothing. And then when you finally see this tiny little piece of grass that's starting to come up, boy, if you don't get rain, if you get wind, if you get a storm, anything can destroy it. So that's why it's saying here, he who sows in tears will reap with joyful shouting. They're sowing in tears because you have no idea, just like farmers in the 1800s, you know, that you put all that work in. And then after a couple of months, you know, you get a real bad storm and destroys your whole crop. And wow, it really is discouraging when that happens. So we need faith to sow. So whether it's physical garden you're putting in or spiritual garden you're putting in your life, you have to have faith. You have to believe. And if you don't believe, if you don't have the faith, what's going to happen? You're not going to do it. So that's why they're sowing in tears. But we have to sow in joy because we have to have the faith believing, you know, because you never know if the hard work is going to pay off or how it's going to pay off, right? You don't even know if you're going to be alive 4 months down the line, you know, when these things are coming. So we have to sow in faith, and it's a long process. It is a long process. It doesn't come overnight, and you have to have the patience, as we're going to see, to be able to do it. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11. Luke chapter 8 and verse 11, right? And when we're talking here, like I said, we're using growing and the growing pattern as a parable. But what does Luke 8 and verse 11 say? And this is the parable. The seed is the word of Yahweh. So that's the point of it. You know, we're talking about seed, and we can use, and like I said, I can do it a lot for myself because I am a planter and I do make gardens, and I really can relate to it every year when I'm out there putting that, me and Mariah, putting the garden together, you know, and we're seeing the digging and the working and all the hard work we're doing. And in the beginning, like I said, you never know. And, you know, it usually happens because in the beginning of the year, the rain really hasn't started yet. Almost every time, at least 20 to 30% of the stuff we plant, we have to replant in a month. You know, so that's just life, you know, that not everything is going to come up good. You're going to have to replant part of it. But the seed is the word of Yahweh. And what does that mean? It means you have to put in a lot of seeds, right? You have to go out and put seeds in. And I think one of the reasons why brethren, two reasons why brethren are not bearing more fruit. Number one, they don't know their spiritual gifts. That's a big part of the school too, to learn their spiritual gifts. Like I said, probably people coming for the first time, probably close to half don't know what their spiritual gifts are. Not one person is left there without knowing what their spiritual gift is. So knowing your spiritual gifts is a big part of, you know, bearing fruit. But the other thing is just not going out and putting enough seeds in, right? Of like not knowing how to do it and not planning enough. So that's another thing, right? And this is what I realized. If I plant a little garden and I put in 15 plants, whatever they are, you know, tomato, broccoli, whatever, it doesn't matter what the plants are. But if I put in 15 plants and I put 115 plants in, do you know it really is hardly that much more work for the 115 than the 15? It's a little more work, but it's not much more. But when the harvest comes, boy, is it a lot more harvest. Because whether I put in 15 plants or 115 plants, I still have to go out there. I still got to dig around. I still got to turn the soil. I still got to bring good soil. I still got to fertilize. I still got to do all the things that are there. And if I'm doing it with a very small area or something that's two or three times that area, it once you're out there doing it, it doesn't make, it's not really that much harder to do more. But the key is the more seeds you put in, the more you're going to get, you know, you're going to reap what you sow. So in the beginning, you have to put in a lot of seeds. And I remember when we first left the church organization, you know, and we were learning, you know, that everybody is accountable and you've got to go out and bear fruit. And it's not about just, you know, pay and pray. That's not the way that it is in the New Testament. But Yahweh gives each of us, it doesn't matter whether you're ordained or not, every single New Testament believer has spiritual gifts and you are accountable for those gifts. Read the parable of the talents, you know, Matthew 25. And we went out and basically, you know, we were living in PA, Pennsylvania at the time. And we went out there and did basically everything. We did radio, homeless ministry, you know, soup kitchens, you name it. I was going to the YMCA, you know, every Saturday night, you know, or a couple times a month. Maybe it wasn't every Saturday night, but a few times a month and teaching over there. It was like throwing everything against the wall and seeing what sticks. Going out and putting flyers out, you know, putting flyers out in diners. And the key was putting all the seeds down and seeing what grew. And the things that grew, you're going to nurture and you're going to work on more. The things that aren't growing, you put to the side and you do something else. So that's the key to it. The key to it is putting out the seeds. So that's why I said the fall is the most important time of the growing season, spiritually and physically. And you have to put out. The more you put, the more that's going to come out. The less you put, the less it's going to come out. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7. But remember this, the one sowing sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the one sowing generously will also reap generously. Each one as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for Yahweh loves a cheerful giver, right? The one who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. That's just it. That's gravity. You know, every time I throw this pen up, it's going to come down. Never once will I throw it up and it's going to float up in the air. If it does, then we have another problem on our hands here. But that's gravity. That's the way it works. So you've got to put seeds out. You have to put seeds out. Now, there's two ways of doing it. You could put many seeds. You know, you could have 2 acres of land and you could put many seeds of all different things. Or you can plant one thing and plant a lot of it. So the key is you don't want to stretch yourself too thin and just do a lot of things where you're not doing anything good. But you want to see what works first. And then the things that are working, you want to expand on. So that's one of the keys to it. And next is Hosea 10 and verse 12. Hosea chapter 10 and verse 12 says, sow to yourself in righteousness, reap as kindness. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek Yahweh until he comes and rains righteousness on you. The latter rains. This is a really neat verse because it really is showing, like, although they're using again the physical thing of planting, because that's what people understood, it really is talking about spiritual. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap as kindness, right? You reap what you sow. So that's another thing in life. If you're wondering why you don't have a lot of friends, you know, he who has many friends must show himself friendly. You know, maybe you need to be showing more kindness to people. Maybe you need to be giving more of yourself to people. So sow to yourself in righteousness, reap as kindness. And it's a law of nature. So whatever it is you're lacking in your life, that means you're not putting enough of something out to receive that, right? break up your fallow ground. Like we said in the beginning, you can't just plant. You can't just go outside here and throw seed on the ground. That's not the way it works. You got to, and you want to know something. That is the hardest part. The hardest part, and this is after doing it year after year, we're using the same garden, but going out and turning it all over, getting out all those rocks that somehow got in there and all those weeds that grew over, you know, the year, and then raking it out, putting in the new soil. That's the hardest part, but you got to break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek Yahweh until he comes and rains righteousness on you. So this is the time. You wasted too much time already, you know. And I know I am talking to you. You're saying, you know, hey, it sounds like you're talking to me. I am. I'm talking to you. So don't think I'm not. I'm thinking about you and I'm talking to you right now. You're wasting too much time. It's enough. The time is now. You have to put this together and you have to be breaking up your fallow ground and you have to make sure that you're out there. So what type of seed are you planting? Because you're going to reap what you sow. You want to make sure you reap what you're sowing. You reap what you sow. It's a law of nature, like I said. So now, that's the planting part. That's the fall. That's the beginning. That's the hardest part. But if you do that right, wow. You know, after that's all done, it's such a nice feeling now. Because in the fall, in the beginning, like I said, you don't know. You might get rain. You might not get rain. Some falls you get no rain, so you got to go out and you got to water. But that's the hardest part those first few weeks, because you know when you plant a plant, you know with seed it's one thing, but if you plant a plant, even though you see something up there, that plant is just laying there until you water it for at least 10 to 14 days. It hasn't rooted in the ground, so you got to make sure that you know in the beginning you're doing it. But now when the fall is over and the winter's coming, you could relax a little bit. Because at least what you did now, it's going to kind of take a life of its own. The winter rains come, so you don't have to go out and water anymore. You know, it's going to water on itself. You are going to have to go out and weed, and you're going to have to watch it. You're going to have to make sure if it's falling over, you know, to fix it some. But if you did break up your fallow ground, and you did a good job in the fall, and you sowed a lot of good seeds, the rest is much easier. So that's why I say that's the biggest part. But now winter comes, and winter is a waiting period. And now kind of turning this into not just bearing fruit, but trials and struggles, winters can be long. So that's another thing that happens in our life. Sometimes we hit these winters where we're hitting these struggles in our life, and they're not easy. And, you know, there's winters that sometimes seem like they're never going to go away. But we have to be patient through these challenges, right? So that's where you gotta have maturity in your life. You gotta have faith, because like I said, the winters can be long and the winters can hold challenges. Mark 4, in verse 26 through verse 29, it says, "And he said, so is the kingdom of Yahweh, as if a man should cast seed on the ground," like we're talking to, right? So he's comparing again, growing seed to the kingdom. "And should sleep and rise night and day," right? Like I said, it takes time in the beginning, but once it starts to go, then it kind of takes a life of its own. "And the seed should sprout in lengthening of itself, and he does not know it." So even if you got sick, if you went away, if you did whatever, once it's in there, it's going to grow one way or the other. If it's not nurtured, it's not going to grow as much, but it is going to grow, you know, and lengthen of itself. "For of itself the earth bears fruit," right? So now listen to this, because this is really a really good analogy to our spiritual life. First greenery, right? That's what happens. First the seed comes up and it's greenery. That's like our baptism. You know, even the expression, he's green, meaningly he's new. You know, not that he's literally, his body is green. It means that he's new at something. He doesn't have a lot of experience at something. So that's our baptism. At baptism, we're green. You know, we're new. "Then an ear." So that's as we're growing in the spirit, you know, that greenery turns into an ear. It turns, you know, into a full-fledged, like the grain, right? When you look at the grain, it's milky inside, but then it hardens, you know, because we're growing in the spirit. "And then full grain in the ear." That's Aviv. That's when it's ready. That's the latter rain. And here we are. Aviv has come. So this is the time now where we should be really at the fruition of our, it shouldn't be the beginning, but if you didn't really do it, you have to really push now. But we should be really putting on the latter rain. "And when the fruit is ripe, immediately he sends forth the sickle and the harvest has come." So that verse 28, it's really our spiritual life and it's the growing pattern and it's the way it works. So challenges grow patience. challenges grow patience. Luke 8 and verse 15. Luke 8 and verse 15 says, "And that seed which fell on good ground, they are those who with an honest and good heart hear the word and retain it and bear fruit with patience," right? I'll read it again. "And that seed which fell on good ground, they are those who with an honest and good heart hear the word and retain it and bear fruit with patience." So that's what it's about, you know. The winters are the time of really learning patience. Because like I said, the winters can be long, they can be cold. Sometimes the weather could be so bad, it can threaten, you know, your crop. And we want to make sure we're growing in patience and discipline. Romans 5, and this is a big part of our spiritual life, and a big part why sometimes people aren't bearing fruit, because they quit too early. You know, they get discouraged and they quit, not realizing the things they're going through are actually there to make them stronger. It's like the expression I say, you know, probably everybody's heard it, but it really is true. Whatever doesn't kill me makes me stronger. And it really does. And in life, some things, wow, are pretty close to killing you. You know, like the old expression, you know, like, you know, Yahweh says he doesn't give us more than we can handle. But wow, at times, it really seems like it's pushing that line. But this is why we have to just have more patience and we have to understand. But Romans 5, he says, "Therefore, being justified by faith," right? So faith is the cornerstone to everything. "We have peace with Elohim through our Master Yeshua Messiah, through whom also we have had access by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we glory on the hope of the glory of Elohim. And not only so, but we glory also in afflictions," knowing, right? Challenges, afflictions, trials. "That affliction works out patience." And that's what it's all about. We have to patiently endure. "And patience works out proven character." You know, there's people in the world sometimes that say, why does Elohim, you know, they don't use the right name, but why does Elohim allow trials? If he's really there, why does he allow this to happen, that to happen? Because if not, we would never grow in patience. And if we never had patience, we'd never have proven character. And without proven character, we couldn't be like him. Like I said, he created us in his image. We have to grow into his likeness. And that only comes from character. So this is such a great scripture. "And not only so, but we glory also in afflictions, in challenges, trials," right? Knowing that challenges and trials works out patience. And patience works out proven character. And proven character, hope. Proving hope is faith, right? You know, not hope like, oh, I wish it happens. No, it's hope sephartha. It's assured. It's a hope meaningly, it's full assurance. It's a hope meaning more like faith than the English word hope. "And the hope or faith does not put us to shame, because the love of Elohim has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit given to us." So, wow, what a great scripture, and really shows us, right? Challenges grow patience, patience grows character, and character brings hope or faith. So that's why Yahweh has it. And like I said, that's why maybe the winters are a little longer, because they don't happen overnight. You need time for this, you know. Like I said, the neural associations. Sometimes it took years and years and years to build those bad associations. And sometimes it's going to take time, you know, weeks or months even, you know, to change those associations. So we need to see. Drop down to Romans 8, a couple chapters over, verse 22. Romans 8 and verse 22. He says, "For we know that all the creation groans together in labors and pain together until now. And not only so, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, also we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting that sonship, the deliverance from our body. For we were saved by hope," right? "But hope being seen is not hope, for what anyone sees, why does he also hope? But if we hope for what we do not see, through patience we wait eagerly," right? So that's the point of it, you know. Once it's there, there's no more hope anymore. It's just a reality in front of you. You don't need the hope or the faith. But we do, like it says here, you know, "but we hope for what we do not see, through patience we wait eagerly." And that's why we have to build patience. And that's another reason for winter, you know. And the struggles and the trials, they're not to tear us down. They're to build us up. They're to give us more patience. And they're to give us more discipline. We have to learn discipline in our life. So patience builds faith for things not seen, right? What is faith? The evidence of things not seen. That's where the patience comes from. But believed in. So they're not seen, but they're believed in. You don't want to lose your discipline during winter, right? Weeding a garden, working on your goals regularly. So like I said, the winter's a little hard sometimes because they're long, you know, they're cold, you know, they're stormy, and sometimes they're filled with trials, which kind of bring us down some. You know, if the weather's really bad, you can't exercise as much as you normally do. But this is the point. You've got to discipline yourself during the winter that you can't just leave your garden growing all wild, you know, because it's going to affect, right? There's only so many nutrients that's in your garden. And if your weeds are growing up to 2 feet high, that's taking away from your fruit. You're not going to have the same fruit. So that's why you have to weed the garden, because there's only so many nutrients that are there, right? So the nutrients are either going to go to the weeds or it's going to go to the seeds. You know, it's one or the other, and that's up to you. So you want to make sure in the winter time, even though it's, you know, going to be harder to get out there and colder and you're not as motivated, you know, because it is going to grow on itself one way or the other, but how is it going to grow? You know, and it's amazing, the last few years, through different techniques, we found out, man, we've had, you know, cauliflower, broccoli, you know, cabbage, that's gigantic. And one of the reasons was by being diligent, by going out there, you know, and weeding, you know, every whatever 10 days, you know, 2 weeks, whenever you need it, and making sure we're being diligent with it. So that's where you don't want to lose your discipline during the winter season, and you want to make sure you keep your focus, and you want to make sure you're building patience through your trials. Excuse me. And then what comes next? Spring, Aviv, where we are now, the early harvest, right? So the early harvest comes, the first harvest. And why is it filled with joy? Because it's the early rain. It's the first fruits you're seeing. So before that, everything was in hope. Everything was, in faith. But now you're actually seeing harvest. So the spring is the early harvest, the early rain. And the one good thing is winter always ends. So we got to realize that in our life. Like I said, when you're looking through life struggles and life challenges, it could be a death of a spouse, it could be a loss of a job, it could be financial problems. Always remember, winter will end. They may seem long winter, and it may seem like, wow, this winter's been going on for a long time. Wow, this winter in my life seems like it's been going on for 2 years. But even if it has been going on for 2 years, sooner or later, winter will end. So that's where faith comes in. We have to believe spring will always come. And that's Yahweh's circular pattern. And if you understand and believe in that circular pattern, you want to know something. You know, like the sermon, if you never heard the sermon I did on the other side, listen to that sermon. Because once you get to the other side, once winter has ended, and once spring has come and you got to the other side, whatever trials or challenges you went through and you overcame, you'll never go back. You'll be stronger for everything, no matter what you went through in life. Like I said, it's horrible. Some of the stuff is really, really bad. You know, when you're talking about sickness and suffering or death, or like I said, loss of a job or financial problems, whatever you went through, you know, whatever didn't kill me made me stronger. And it will make you stronger, not only for yourself, but for others, right? We're going into this mentoring period now. And as far as bearing fruit to Yahweh, a big part is mentoring others. Because when you're mentoring others, you're bearing fruit then from what they're doing also. So spring is the early harvest, the first harvest. There's joy because the early rain is there and the winter always ends. Like I said, it may seem long, but it always ends. Deuteronomy 16. And let's see this, because now what does spring mean? Spring means first fruits. We are first fruits. That's why spring is so important to us. Because we're part of that early rain. We're part of that early, growing season, that early reaping. We are the first fruits to Yahweh. Deuteronomy 16 and verse 1. Observe the month of Aviv. Here we are. And perform the Passover to Yahweh your Elohim. I hope everybody has done that. For in the month of Aviv, Yahweh your Elohim brought you out of Egypt by night. Right? So, spring came, winter ended, and while as hard as that winter was, right, they went through the 10 plagues, including the death of the firstborn, spring always comes. That's Yahweh's circular pattern. It does come. And you know what? I think sometimes the reason why winter stays is our mentality to stay in winter. You know, Because a lot of times when you're going through trials, sometimes it's people keeping themselves in that trial by not learning the lesson, by not overcoming, by not pushing towards spring, by not doing the things they need to do. Because what happens when the harvest comes, the first harvest, you got to go out and you got to reap it, you know? So you got to reap what's there, you know, or else, you know, there's no benefit to it. You won't recognize it. So winter seems long, but the spring always comes. Go down to verse 8 of Deuteronomy 16. You shall eat unleavened things 6 days, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly to Yahweh your Elohim. You shall do no work. You shall number to yourself 7 weeks, right? Seven being Yahweh's number of completion. So we start that count tomorrow, actually, the Feast of First Fruit, and we go seven sevens, the full completeness of Yahweh's plan, right? We are the beginning of that, and now, as we're going to see, as the fall comes, the summer, that's the end of it, the two reaping periods. When the sickle begins to reap in the standing grain, you begin to number 7 weeks. We're in the beginning of a harvest when Aviv comes, not the end of the harvest. It's only the beginning of the harvest. And the harvest goes all the way to Shavuot. And you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to Yahweh your Elohim according to the measure of the freewill offering of your hand, which you shall give according as Yahweh your Elohim blesses you. And you shall rejoice before Yahweh your Elohim, you and your son and your daughter and your male slave and your slave girl and the Levite that is inside your gate and the alien and the fatherless and the widow, everybody that is among you in the place where Yahweh your Elohim shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. So everybody will be rejoicing because everybody's reaping what they sowed and everybody sowed good seed. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt, right? Our old life of sin. And you shall take heed to do these statutes. So, wow, how great, right? The Feast of First Fruit tomorrow. What a great day. My favorite day of the year, right? Because the resurrection. And if there's a resurrection, that means I'm never going to die. So whatever happens in this life is temporary. You know, in one way or another, winter's always going to end. So spring's going to come. Aviv is there. And even if it seems long, you know, the spring will always come. The newness of Eve, the word means newness, right? So it's about newness. Newness not only of what you're reaping, of what you sowed, but newness of putting new things in the ground, right? Newness of new projects, new bearing fruit, new things you're doing. It's a new year. It's the beginning of a new year. So whatever struggles and trials you may have had in that winter, they're over now. It's time to begin over. It's time to start over. Passover is about redemption, right? It's not about dragging your old trials and challenges from last year into this year. And that's why I think some people do it, because they're not realizing that. They're not letting Aviv come in their life. You know, Aviv is new. It's letting the old go and letting Yahweh bring the new. Passover is redemption in the beginning of the 7 week count to Shavuot and the early rain, right? So that's what it's about. It's preparing for that. And are we doing that? Exodus 23. Because we are first fruits, and remember, first fruits are set apart to Yahweh. Exodus 23, verse 14 and 15, and the beginning of verse 19. He says, three times in the year you shall make a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened. You know, bread is put in there, you know, but it's all unleavened things. 7 days you shall eat unleavened things, as I have commanded you, at the set time of the month of Aviv. For in it you came out from Egypt, right? Aviv is about newness, it's about leaving the old behind. And they shall not appear before me empty. And I say this to people, yes, do we have to bring an offering? At feast time, of course. You know, we do. According to how Yahweh has blessed us. But it's not only money. Money is one way of giving an offering. But it's what has he blessed you with? It's giving of yourself, mentoring. Mentoring is a big offering that we give to Yahweh when we mentor other people. So we don't appear before him empty though, right? We don't pay back, we pay forward. We're always giving back to Yahweh. And then verse 19, he says, the first fruits of your ground you shall bring to the house of Yahweh your Elohim. So what were your plants last year? You know, what are you reaping now? What are your spiritual goals? You know, everybody that's come to the school, they all have had a spiritual plan. So are they accomplishing it? And what they're accomplishing, are they giving back? Are they giving back in some way? You know, because we have to give back to Yahweh, part of it. because the first fruit belongs to Him. And we are first fruits. And everything that we do, we have to give back. You know, you don't pay back, you pay forward. So are we doing that? Are we doing it in our life? Are we paying forward? So the first fruits is set apart to Yahweh. Revelation 14. Read this yesterday. We'll read just the first four verses today. We are first fruits. It's extremely important. You've got to embrace this in your life. You've got to really internalize it, what it means to be a first fruit. Because first fruits are very rare, you know. They're 1 out of 10, only 10%. And I saw and behold the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with Him were 144,000 with the name of His Father having been written in their forehead. And I heard the sound out of heaven as the sound of many waters and as the sound of great thunder. Also I heard the sound of harpers harping on their harps. So they're praising Yahweh. And here it is, the first fruits are the ones that have the name of Yahweh. They're children of His. I've said this before, and some people were shocked, they didn't realize this, but at the White Throne Judgment, when you look at everyone that's ever born, it never says they're children of Yahweh. It never even says they're going to be spirit beings, right? They could be just like Adam when he was created. So all of those, you know, 50, 60, 70 billion people that ever lived might just be human beings for eternity and never die. But the first fruits are different. The first fruits definitely are family members. The first fruits definitely are spiritual beings. The first fruits, that's why it's the better resurrection, it says. You know, if everyone was the same, why would it be the better resurrection? Like it talks about in Revelation 20. And they sing a new song as before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one was able to learn the song except 144,000, those having been redeemed from the earth, right? Taken out of commercial Babylon. Those are the ones that are not part of the system of that. These are the ones who had not become defiled by commercial Babylon, for they are pure. These are the ones following the Lamb wherever He may go. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits to Yahweh and the Lamb, right? So that's what Passover. Passover is about first fruits. And I said this in the message yesterday. If you're not a first fruit, Passover really has very little to do with you. So it's the same here, you know. Winter's over, spring is here. Embrace it, you know, embrace it. Embrace the spring and being a first fruit. We are first fruits. Leviticus 23, verse 15. Leviticus 23 and verse 15. And you shall number to you from the next day after the Sabbath, this is tomorrow, the Feast of First Fruit, from the day you bring in the Omer of the wave offering, they shall be 7 complete Sabbaths, 49 days, to the next day after the 7th Sabbath, the 50th day, right? You shall number 50 days. And you shall bring near a new food offering to Yahweh. And you shall bring in bread out of your dwellings for a wave offering, 2 loaves. They shall be of 2/10 ephah flour. They shall be baked with leaven, first fruits to Yahweh. So what we see here is, right, we have to have fruit to bring Yahweh after the 7 weeks process of reaping. So isn't that kind of interesting, you know, that on Shavuot, it's not just that you come, but you have to use, you know, from the grain that was grown, you have to bring an offering. The offering is from that. So that's the point of it, you know. Yahweh's given us all spiritual gifts. Yahweh, all of us should have personal ministries that we're doing beside the, you know, unified ministry we're all doing together. And what fruit are you bearing from that? And the fruit you're bearing, you have to bring a gift to Yahweh. That gift could be serving someone, helping someone. It could be whatever it is, whatever part of your ministry. Like I said, sometimes it is financial, but not always. But we need to do that because on Yahweh's holy days, it always says you don't appear before Him empty. You have to give an offering. So what is that offering that you are giving? We must have first fruit to bring Yahweh after the 7-week process of reaping, right? And that's why I say you reap what you sow. And that's why going back to the fall, it's the most important time, because if you don't sow enough seeds, you're not going to be able to reap. So whether that means one thing you're doing big time or a lot of small things you're doing together, you have to make sure whatever you're doing, you have enough seeds that you're going to be able to sow from it. And the last one here for spring is John 15, 5 through 8, that we always want to remember. No fruit, no reward. John chapter 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, this man will produce plentiful fruit, because without me you're not able to do anything, right? And that's so true. We always got to remember that. There is no, he who separates himself seeks his own desire, Proverbs 18:1. And we are a body, we're a body, we're unified, and we have to be together, we have to help each other, and Yeshua is the head of that body. So, in verse 8, in this my Father is glorified, that you should bear much fruit, and you will be disciples of me. So, again, no fruit, no reward. The fruit, your reward is based on the fruit that you are bearing. And that's why spring is the beginning of that. Spring is where you're getting that first harvest. You should start seeing. And then if you see that you're producing, you're seeing fruit being born by the seeds you planted, you want to do more of it, right? You want to bear more of it. So that's the early rain, that comes in the spring. And then the summer. The summer is the last part of the growing season, the hardest part, because now the rains have ended, right? The early rain has ended, and the latter rain has ended, that comes right at Shavuot, if it comes. The early rain comes in, December, January. And here it is, the summer. It's tough because of the weather, and we compare this to our baptism of fire. So the summer is like that last part, getting ready for the big harvest that you're going to have in your life. You're maturing more, like we said in that other scripture in Mark 4. It starts out as greenery because you're brand new, and then you mature as it changes. So now the summer comes, where you're going to go through the baptism of fire, which means there's going to be more challenges. There's going to be more struggles. You're going to have to work harder because there's going to be more fruit to be born, and you're more mature. You're able to handle it. So praise Yahweh for that. So this is the summer harvest, like I said. Could be tough with the weather. We compare it to the baptism of fire and, the latter rain that's coming from it. Exodus 23. We'll go back there. And this is kind of compared to getting ready for Sukkot. That's the later harvest. Exodus 23, verse 14. Three times in the year you shall make a feast to me. And then verse 16. Also the feast of harvest. So it's kind of interesting when it's talking about the fruit that's born. It's not called Feast of Sukkot anymore. Because it's not focusing on just staying in tents. Or tabernacles, because that's what the children of Israel did. It's talking about bearing fruit. So when it's talking about the harvest, it's the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, what you sow in the ground, and the feast of ingathering. It's called the feast of ingathering, Sukkot, when you're talking about the fruits that come with it. The dates, the figs, the olives, the pomegranates, and even the wheat, the later wheat that comes, from Shavuot time, and then they're preparing it after that and bringing it to Sukkot. After the going out of the year, right? What does it mean, the going out of the year? The Tekufa, the fall equinox. So you can't have Sukkot before the fall equinox, which is, September 21, roughly. So, which means really the year, it's not just the feast, but the year really can't start. The year can, I guess. Sukkot has to be after that point. And yet this year, like I said, there's people that are going to be keeping Sukkot beginning of August, 2 months early. So it just, and I've said this year after year after year, we lived in Israel, in the Middle East, they're close to 25 years, more than that, maybe even now. And I've said, you got to understand the Bible growing pattern, not from Iowa, Montreal, Canada, wherever else. You got to understand it from the land of Israel, because that's our promised land, and that's the land that Yahweh gives. And he says, the feast of ingathering after the going out of the year, after the Tekufa, after the equinox, at the gathering, your work from the field. So Sukkot cannot start before that time. Leviticus 23 and verse 39. Leviticus 23 and verse 39. And again, again, just talking about Sukkot. And in the 15th day of the 7th month, Tishri, you shall gather the increase of the land. You shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days, just like we had here. It's kind of interesting. In the spring, you have Passover, which is a separate day first, and then you have 7 days of unleavened bread. In the fall, you have 7 days of Sukkot, and then the last great day. So that circular pattern you see again. 2 8-day feasts, one where the 1 day starts and then 7 days, the second part where the 7 days and then the 1 day. So it all goes around the circular pattern. You shall keep the feast of Yahweh 7 days, on the first day a holy day Sabbath, and on the 8th day a holy day Sabbath. And you shall take to yourself on the first day the fruit of majestic trees, palm branches, boles of thick oak trees, and willows of the valley, and shall rejoice before Yahweh Elohim 7 days. And we did it for, 20 years in Israel, keeping Sukkot there and building our sukkahs with this. And you shall celebrate it a feast to Yahweh 7 days in a year, a never-ending statute throughout your generations. In the 7th month you shall keep it. So again, no matter whether you're in Israel or not, it's a never-ending statute. If you're in Israel, you need to go to Jerusalem. If you're not in Israel, wherever you are, you have to keep it. And it's a never-ending statute. So this is what he's talking about. We keep the feast for the patience and diligence of waiting on Yahweh for the latter rain blessing after, the harvest fruit. So that's the point. Now, if you were faithful and Yahweh blessed, you're getting the bigger harvest that's coming for Sukkot. You're getting to take that week and go there and just enjoy it and eat and have a good time, whatever your heart desires before Yahweh, like it says in Scripture. Because why are you having such a good time? Two reasons. Number one, because you were faithful, you have a lot of good things there with you that you took up to Sukkot, and you're enjoying yourself. Yahweh blessed you. And number two, when you go back, it starts all over again. the circular pattern. The fall is going to be there and it's going to start all over again. You're going to have to break up the fallow ground. You're going to have to do it all over again. But if you were successful and if you bore a lot of fruit and you had a great Sukkot, you're looking forward to it. Now you're not dreading that time like it talked about, in Psalm 126. You're not sowing in tears. You're sowing in joy because you're knowing when you sow those seeds, the end result is being at Sukkot with all Yahweh's people and enjoying yourself and having a great time together with Yahweh's blessing on top of it. So that's the point. The summer harvest can be rough, but if we did everything right, it's the greater of the harvest of the latter rain blessing. Luke 3:16 and 17. John answered all, saying, I indeed baptize you with water, but he stronger than I comes, of whom I am not able to fit to loosen the thong of the sandals. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Like I said, the summer is kind of like the baptism of fire you can compare it to. He who holds a winnowing fan in his hand and has cleansed his threshing floor. He will gather the wheat into his granaries, but the chaff he will burn in the fire that cannot be put up. So now, this is the serious part about the summer, though, because the summer is gonna, you reap what you sow. It's gonna basically be evident whether you worked for Yahweh or not. And you know what? We're coming toward this time now. We're coming toward the end where the cherubs are gonna come and the reapers, and Yeshua is gonna come to this earth, and he's gonna bless us, and his reward is with him to give what? As we're gonna see, according to what we did, according to our work. So now you can't fake it. During the year, you could have said what you want, you could say this, you could say you're gonna. But now it's the time. Either you come to Sukkot with that fruit of the blessing, or you come empty-handed. It's one or the other. And what is it in your life now? Do you have blessings from the fruit that you're bearing? And then, like I said, the cycle works great. Or is it empty-handed? And Yahweh doesn't take excuses. Excuses, we have a class I do at the school, on victimhood. And it's the most awful thing in the world because, by definition, a victim is not going to be happy. What victim is happy? What victim comes into the police? Hey, guess what? I just got mugged. They beat me up. They took all my money. Isn't that great? Of course not. Victims, by definition, are unhappy people because victims mean they lost something. They were victimized. And we're not victims. We're victors. And that's the key. You got to change that mentality. You got to see yourself not as a victim, but as a victor. And part of being a victor is the fruit we're bearing. So if you're not bearing fruit, summer's already here. You better get going and you better figure out, because wow, you've lost a lot of that growing pattern. You better figure out how to do it. And there's one encouraging scripture I'm going to read here in a minute that'll show, well, you know what, maybe even if you didn't do a lot of planting, you could at least do some reaping. You know, not, you don't always have to reap what you sowed. You could reap sometimes what somebody else sowed and work together. So Galatians 6 in verse 7 through 9. Galatians 6, verse 7 through 9. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a man may sow, that he will also reap. For the one sowing in his flesh will reap corruption of the flesh, but the one sowing to the Spirit will reap everlasting life from the Spirit. And let us not be weary now that we are working for good, for in the season of reaping we will not faint. And I'll tell you something, I believe probably two reasons why many brethren don't want to move to community. Because like I said, we have tens and tens of thousands of people in the congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem from all over the world. How many are living in community? Maybe 10% of those people. And the two main reasons why people don't want to go to community, number one, they don't want to give up personal things they have. You know, they're selfish, they want all of them. And number two, they don't want to share. They don't want to, not that they don't want to share, but that's the part of the first reason, not wanting to give up. They don't want to share who they really are. So they're putting on their Sabbath face every week and maybe coming to the feast and being able to even do it for a week if they're good at it. But they don't want to show every day who they are. And that's the thing, when you live in community, you can't hide it anymore. People are going to see who you really are. And either you are going to be somebody that is, like I said, making these changes, breaking our fallow ground, and changing those bad patterns and growing, which everyone does in community, most people anyway, maybe not everyone, but most people. And you're going to grow much more than the people that are just on their own and not growing. So it's up to you, though. You know, is it that you're afraid of being exposed? Is that the reason why you're not in community? That's something that you have to answer. But it says, let us not be weary now, verse 9 again, that we are working for good, for in the season of reaping we will not faint, right? That means you sowed good seeds. And if you're not showing a lot of fruit, that means you haven't put seeds in the ground. You haven't put seeds in the ground. You can't look outside and say, you know, that'd be a great spot for a garden, and then a year later be looking and figuring, why aren't tomatoes and why aren't cabbage growing there? Because you didn't plant any seeds. If you want to reap, you got to sow. Hebrews 6 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 7. It says, for the earth that drinks in the rain which comes often upon it and produces herbs that are useful to those for whom it is cultivated, right? So true. Receives blessing from Elohim. But if it should bear thorns and thistles, it is rejected and near a curse. And that's why you have to weed your garden. You don't want thorns and thistles. It is rejected and near a curse, and in the end will be burned up. And then what might happen is your plants may all die. The weeds literally can suffocate your plants so much that they kill them, and then the whole thing has to be burned. But in regard to you, my brethren, we are persuaded better things and things pertaining to life, even though we speak in this manner. For Elohim is not unjust to forget your work and your labor of love, which you showed to his name, ministering to the saints and now are ministering, right? So if you're putting in good seeds, this isn't going to happen. And if you're weeding your garden out, getting rid of those spots and wrinkles in your life. But we desire each of you to show the same eagerness to the full assurance of the hope to the end, that you not become slothful, but imitators of those who through faith and long suffering are inheriting the promises, right? How are they inheriting the promises? Not being slothful. So they're out there, they're doing the weeding in their gardens, right? Getting rid of the things in their life they have to. But imitators of those who through faith and long suffering, faith and patience, are inheriting the promises, right? They got through the winter, they had it, and now during the summer, the same thing. They're not being borne down by the lack of rain, the heavy heat, but they're out there and they're doing their due diligence. They're caring for their garden, their physical garden, their spiritual garden, and their life as a garden. And we are rewarded for how much fruit we produce. How patient we are to endure. So, and like I said, the end of the summer, that's where it becomes evident. Because either you have fruit or you don't. But like I said, if maybe you're watching this now and you're sweating a little bit and you're thinking, oh boy, it's coming toward harvest time. I haven't put in a lot of plants. Let me give you an encouraging scripture in Jeremiah 5, verse 23. Jeremiah 5 and verse 23. It says, But to this people, but to this people there is a revolting and a rebellious heart. They have turned and are gone. And they do not say in their heart, let us now fear Yahweh or Elohim, who gives both the former and the latter rain in its season. He keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good from you. So this is the people, you know, basically, that haven't done anything. And a lot of it is rebellion sometimes, you know, because they don't want to go out there and they don't want to do the things that Yahweh is saying to do. And they are not following, you know, the things that Yahweh says, and they're basically reaping what they're sowing. So like he's saying here is, Yahweh is saying, who gives both the former and the latter rain, and he keeps the appointed weeks of the season, but he says, your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withheld good for you. So we want to make sure that we're not being one of these people that is doing this, you know, that we're, and if you don't have a harvest right now, if you don't have a harvest in your life, you better look at the scripture really hard, and you better realize what have you caused in your life not to have the harvest. Like I said, don't play the victim. Don't be blaming somebody else. It's your fault if there's not a harvest. But here's the change. This is the scripture that I want to leave you with that is really, really encouraging, and it's actually John 4. It's John 4. And verse 35, Yeshua says, do not say that after 4 months comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and see the fields. They're white and have ripened for the harvest already. So, you know, part of the reason why some people don't have any fruit in their life, because they're always saying there's 4 months to the harvest. They're always saying it's not the end yet. They're always saying, I'll do it down the line. They're always saying later, next year this, next year that. And, you know, it's kind of like the scripture where there were two sons. The first son, the father said, go out to the field. And he said, I don't want to go. And then later he regretted and he went. And the second one said, okay, I'll go. And he never went. So which one are you? You know, there's people that will say all the time, well, what a great sermon, what a great sermon. And then they never change. And there's other people that at times will be challenged by the sermon and maybe not be happy with it, but later they're going to apply it in their life. So the point of it is, if you're always saying there's 4 months of the harvest and you're never seeing the importance of the times and going out and bearing the fruit, if it's always, I'm going to do it next year, then you're fulfilling that scripture in Jeremiah 5. You're rebelliously not following Yahweh because time is going to run out. Whether that means the kingdom will be here in 3 or 5 or 7 years, or maybe the kingdom, maybe we all have it wrong and Yeshua's kingdom isn't going to come for 1,000 years, right? But you're still going to be dead in maybe 3 or 5 or 7 years or 10 years or 20 years, whatever. I can guarantee you're not going to be around in 1,000 years unless the kingdom is here already. So that's the point you got to realize. And that's why I say, you know, you got to sow in faith. You got to believe that that's the reward and not the small things you're getting in commercial Babylon. And you got to make that decision. And if you don't make that decision, you know, and get a game plan, I'm not saying to immediately hear the sermon and just quit life, you know, but get a game plan. That's part of bearing fruit. It's having a game plan. Fruit doesn't come all at once. It's making a game plan over time and going into this. So, but look what he says here. And he that reaps receives a wage and gathers fruit unto life that is eternal. And the sower and the reaper together will rejoice, right? So now you don't necessarily have to reap what you sowed, but you can help reap what somebody else sowed. For in this word is true that another is the one sowing and another is the one reaping. I sent you to reap what you have not labored over. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. So, wow. That's great. That means for some of you out there that really haven't done anything yet and haven't, you could be involved in reaping what You know, and we're actually, all of us do this to a degree. None of us started this. This congregation started with Yeshua and the apostles 2,000 years ago. So we're reaping with the foundation they laid 2,000 years ago. And then the Paulicians and the Waldenses and the Anabaptists, you know, and even Church of God to a degree. And we're all reaping with other people laid down. So don't even use that as an excuse. Oh, it's too late and this and that. It's never too late. You could be reaping with somebody else. Has sown. We're all part of the same team. We're all part of the one unity, the one body, one congregation. But the bottom line is, there's no more time to wait. Either go out now, get a plan of action, start doing it, or you are going to reap what you sow. The last scripture is Revelation 22 and verse 12. This is Yeshua speaking, and behold, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me to give each according to his work. Yes, works are required, not for salvation. Salvation is a free gift, because what you have done, your work up until the time you're converted, has only brought you death. So yes, you need Yahweh's grace. It's completely free. There's nothing you can do to earn it. But once you get that grace, once you are a member in his family, yes, then you have to produce something. Yahweh requires that. He gives us gifts to produce. And that's what the growing season is all about. And how great, by knowing this, by knowing Yahweh works in the circular, by knowing Yahweh's pattern, how great it is. Because you want to know something, the world is always in winter. And like I was reading Jeremiah 5, you know, to this people there's a revolting and rebellious spirit. This isn't really the people of Yahweh, maybe a few of you, but not really. It's mostly to the world. They have turned and have gone. They do not say in their heart, let us fear Yahweh. Our Elohim, who gives both the form and latter rain and season, he keeps the appointed season. Your iniquities have turned away these things. So the world stays in winter most of the year. And some, sadly, in the time we're living in, most of their life, most people are in winter. Their life is in winter. They never leave winter to go into spring. You know, they never have a fall where they're planting those good seeds and building up their fallow ground. So the world is mostly always in winter, waiting and having hard times with little hope. But for Yahweh's people, it's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's time to go out and to reap what's been being sown. We need to bring this hope to a hopeless world. And part of those people out there that are been in winter most of their life, we need to go out and tell them. We need to share this with them. Share this with maybe an unconverted friend or family member. Share this sermon and show them there is an alternative. There's something there that Yahweh has that's better for them. Share with them the great human potential that Yahweh has given them. And get their mind off of commercial Babylon that just wants them to fail. So, like we said in John, you know, we all can be involved now in what's being reaped. Some don't see the harvest because they never planted seeds. But we can still reap in the reward. What a blessing of Yahweh's circular pattern of the growing season and the calendar in our life. So every time, you know, like I said, we get in those hard times and those long winters, always remember, spring always comes. Knowing whatever challenge we're going through, that winter will always end, spring will always come, and showing us as a believer that now it is harvest time. Let's bear the most fruit for our love for our Creator. So I hope you're blessed by this. Listen to it more than once, because there's a lot of meat in there, or let's say a lot of fruit in there that you can get from. But I pray that you're blessed by this. So Yahweh bless. Chag Sameach. Shabbat Shalom.